just as a recap, each week, sort of what is our vision? Our vision is to experience and express love from God to others. Just as simple as that. Love is all caps because it's the most important part of who we are as followers of Jesus. If people don't experience love from us, then we're misguided, we're misdirected, and we're not going to be loving people all the time. It's a struggle. I was really struggling yesterday, honestly. But then that's when we confess and say, God, I'm so in need. Would you fill me with your love that I would experience it and be able to express it to others? And then I love this verse, Galatians 5, verse 6. Paul says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So if we can focus and center on that most important thing of love, that we would experience that from God and that we'd be able to give it away to other people, I think we're winning. That's the heartbeat of the Christian faith. And then our mission, like, how do we do this? You know, because it's a great, inspiring vision, but how does that practically happen? Our mission focuses on relationship. It's to connect with people, to come alongside of people, build relationships through community workshops, neighborhood-focused ministry, serving local needs, mentoring, and worship. And the workshops idea is, you know, we did this a few weeks ago. I asked you guys, hey, if you were forced to do a workshop, you had to do it. There was no out. You had to teach something. You had to facilitate or lead a workshop on something that you would feel comfortable doing. What would it be? And boy, the responses were really inspiring. And I read through them, I think, last week and put them out there so you can see what's going on. But a lot, you know, they don't have anything to do with anything spiritual. It could be a cooking class or a painting class or something with arts or something with home repair. And when we do those kind of things, we come alongside of people who are learning something together, learning a skill together, and relationship. There's an opportunity for relationship and connection to happen in that way. And that's one of the ways that, you know, the gospel is transpired to other people. I heard somebody say that we pick up the gospel through osmosis, just being with people who have it and being around it. We begin to pick it up. So that kind of explains the workshops piece of our mission. So that's our vision and mission. This week, a verse that jumped out at me in terms of what is the good news. Each week, we're sort of capturing what is the good news. And I'll just say it again. I don't have it up here. But as an easy way, hopefully I'm doing this each week, you can remember the acronym GRACE. What is the good news? If somebody asks you or you want to tell somebody what is the essence of the good news, the acronym GRACE, God's riches at Christ's expense, right? That's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, God's riches at Christ's expense, or 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, God's riches at Christ's expense, grace. But this verse for us today, Colossians 1, 21 and 22, listen to this. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, who's he talking to? Some of us in this room? No, all of us. All of us. Once you were alienated from God, you were enemies because of your evil behavior. But now, he, Christ, has reconciled you. God has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. Who did it? God did it. We have been rescued. He has set his love on us, and we have been reconciled to God. And when God sees us now because of what Christ has done, he sees us as being perfectly holy in his sight. Isn't that unbelievable? Because we know how unholy we are, but he sees us as holy. And the process of life is God is actually making us holy. So we are declared, there's a declarative holiness. We are declared holy, but then there's a demonstrative holiness where he is making us holy. He is changing the affections of our hearts that impact our behaviors, that impact our desires. God is doing this work in our lives. So it's really an amazing thing. That's good news. That's good news. So we've been walking through our beliefs. So we have our vision, our mission, our beliefs as a church, and all of this. There's some cards at the back table This is our covenant partner commitment. So people who say, hey, I love this church. I want to be a part of it. I want to commit myself to it. This is what we give, and you can read through it. But it has all of this on there, and that's sort of what we're using as our guide as we go through it. The first one is I'm really broken, and I need help. That's a first. This is all biblical, all gospel. I'm broken. I need help. Jesus is perfect, and he is my help. It's necessary that Jesus become perfect because he's the only one. It requires somebody who's perfect to be able to give perfect righteousness to us. So that's why it's important that Jesus is perfect. Third, Jesus is the only way to healing in my relationship with God. He's the only way. If there were other ways, then Jesus wouldn't be necessary. And if there were other ways, then Jesus wouldn't have had to die the excruciating, horrible death on the cross and separation from the Father. So he's the only way. But the good news is he's offered to everybody. Everybody can come to the Father through Jesus. The fourth is the Holy Spirit is my power to live as a follower of Jesus. That is so critical and so important. And it's something that most in church, and it was true of my life for the longest time, we don't understand that the power to live the Christian life comes from God himself. He empowers us. We cannot do it in our own strength. If we try, we typically get exhausted and we give up. And that's some of our stories here, like mine was, is we just get exhausted. We get worn out. We're done with church. We're done with religion. We can't do it. It's a rabbit we can't ever catch. But this changes that. It's God who does it through us. And then what we've been talking about started last week. God calls me to submit to his authority and to serve his church. Last week, started talking about submission. What does that look like to God, to his authority on earth and the church? And I'm going to finish with that this week. And then next week, we'll get into the serving part. I'll do a recap a little bit to catch us up. So last week, what is submission? We know it's a buzzword. I talked about, you know, there are some buzzwords in the Christian faith. That's one of them for sure. And it's because it's typically either not understood or it's abused. And, but it's a beautiful word. And we're going to talk about that today. It's a beautiful element of relationships. If you want good, strong relationship, it always involves submission. Definition of submission, to yield oneself to the authority or will of another, to permit oneself to be subjected under the authority of someone or something, and it's willful obedience to another. It involves humility. Why does submission make us uncomfortable? It involves giving up control. It involves operating in weakness, and it involves making ourselves vulnerable. Submission is hard. It's easier, and our natural desire is to want to stay in control, but submission in our relationships with our spouse, or if you're a child, with your parents and giving them and respecting them in the authority position that they're in, or for us in relationship to leadership of a church, Christ Church on earth, it involves giving up control and trusting that authority in our lives. Why do we resist submission? I'll get to this in a minute. Why do we resist? Because of pride, our own pride, and as I mentioned just a minute ago, abuse. Oftentimes we've experienced abuse in submission to authority. We don't trust authority, and that I totally get that. So we have to be very, very careful with that when we're involved in relationships that involve yielding ourselves to another. We have to make sure that they're a trustworthy relationship. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you." So humbling ourselves, submitting ourselves to God and trusting him with all of those things, he will lift us up in his timing. Why does God want us to submit? In a nutshell, it's the way of Jesus. It's the way of God. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus does. There's submission and yielding himself. We mentioned last week, Philippians chapter 2 is a great, probably the text, the perfect verse for that picture that Jesus emptied himself. Though he was God, he emptied himself and he took on flesh and became a slave even to the point of death on a cross. It's the way of Jesus. It's the way of love. And why does God want us to submit? Because it's for our good. He wants us to do that. It's for our good. Submission actually equals meekness. It's strength under control. It's giving up power when you could take it on yourself and hang on to it. But there's a meekness involved, and we see that with Jesus. And so he calls us into that. Compelling reasons. What are some benefits of submission? And we talked about this last week, but so just kind of a, if you weren't here, all of our messages, the audio, the notes, the slides, everything is on our website. But we get protection from God. We get help from God when we submit. We come under under his protection, under the strong tower that the Bible says that he is. Run to him for protection, for help. There's freedom in submission. We don't have to try to think through every single decision. We submit ourselves to God and say, God, what do you want me to do? And oftentimes he'll call us maybe into doing something that we don't understand or may not be a natural interest or desire of ours. But we say, God, if that's where you want me to go, I'm going to go. Here comes a train, so I may take a moment of prayer. There is rest in submission. I used an illustration last week. Micah and I were in the park a few years ago, and we saw a guy. It was a busy festival day, and a guy was walking his dog through the park off leash. And we talked about that. How is that possible where the dog doesn't just run off? It's because his owner knew that he could trust him, that the dog had submitted to the owner's authority and that he would listen and obey. So when there's obedience, there's actually freedom. We think of it the other way around, but there's freedom that comes with obedience. There's rest and there's growth, benefits of submission. We grow individually and we grow together as a body. To whom should we submit? We submit the Bible. This is all what the Bible says. We submit to our spouse. There is sort of an order in the home. You have God. Jesus submitted to the Father. We submit to Jesus. The husband is in charge. He's been given responsibility and accountability for his household. So his wife submits to his leadership and supports him. But at the same time, the husband serves the wife as Christ has served and loved the church, gives himself up for her. There is a mutual submission there. The children submit to their parents. We submit to government authorities. We submit to the boss at work. And what we're going to camp out here on is we submit to Jesus and to his church, his authority on the earth. I was thinking about this past week. You know, in the church, we're not free agents. We're not independent contractors. We're not a crowd coming in and grabbing a seat for a show. God has intentionally put us into families. And all churches all over the world that are Bible-believing, that are evangelical, that believe the absolute essential truths of the gospel that we're talking about here, we're all family. There are different stripes and types and expressions and different styles of worship and all that, but we're all family. And God's big family has different little small pockets of expression, outposts of his kingdom. And so if you're here, if you've been here for a while and you feel like, hey, I'm starting to, this is your family. This is the family that God's called you to. Now, if you, you know, have a job transfer and you move somewhere else, then you'll find a new family, a new expression, a new pocket of God's family, of the kingdom of God on the earth, and you'll connect there. But we're not independent of each other. And that's why we try to make it a practice to say, hey, what are your highlights? What are some good things that have happened in your life this week? What are some prayer requests? What's a verse of encouragement? What are some takeaways so that we can connect as a family? It's why we have breakfast together. It's why we have lunch together. Because the church is a family. We're not free agents. And we're not just a crowd coming and grabbing a seat and then taking off at the end. As I say that, we're all in process. You know, as I ran from God for 10 years, and when God started drawing me back to him, I sat in the back row of a church for a year and a half. Didn't connect with anybody. I just came in, you know, participated and sort of observed and experienced the service and the sermon and then left. But that's what I needed. And God began to draw me in through that. There was a lot of healing that needed to happen in my heart, in my life. So that may be you, you know, and that's okay. But at some point you get to a point where it's like, all right, I'm a part of this family and I want to be a part of it. I want to engage. I need to get to know my other brothers and sisters. So there's all kinds of scripture we touched on last week. Hebrews 13:17, for the church family. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. That's my role. Ray is the associate pastor, our elders in the church, in this church. That's a role and responsibility that we've been given, to keep watch and to pray for and to care for and to protect. That's our role. Do this that their work may be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. So have confidence in your leaders. Submit to their authority. And then church leaders, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Do you know, Ray and I, our leadership team, our elders and their spouses, they shepherd us. Like, who cares for the pastor? They do. And they care for us. They make sure that we're encouraged and that we're being prayed for. So it's all mutual submission. We're all submitting to one another. We're all caring for one another. What is our motivation for submission? Last week, there are a million verses that we could pick, but Romans 12:1, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, basically to submit ourselves to the will and plans of God. In view of his mercy, the lens that we look through, Colossians 1:21 and 22, he's reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death. We look at life through the lens of God's goodness and mercy in our lives, and that's how we submit. That's our motivation. We say, what he has done for me becomes, my submission becomes a response to his love for me. All right, kind of a long catch up, but I think we're all caught up. This week, just have a couple of pages of notes. Two things, mostly. The benefits of submission to Christ and the church. I mentioned benefits of submission in general. Going to touch on benefits of submission to the church. Why is it important to be connected to a local church body? Doesn't have to be this one. You know, we don't try to get people to join this church. You're a part of this church and you're a part of the community. And we use the illustration quite often, similar to a dating relationship that advances and love grows, and then it becomes an engaged relationship and love continues to grow. Then it becomes a marriage relationship, and you stand up in front of all the people that you love and who love you, and you make your commitment to each other. The same thing happens in a church community. It can be a beautiful thing. So benefits of submission to Christ and his church, and then components of submission. Two things we'll touch on today. Disclaimer. I mentioned this earlier, but I'll say it again. Submission is not what we do naturally. It does not come natural. We bristle. We flex when we're faced with requirement or ask of obedience through submission. But it is what God does naturally. It's who he is, but not us. So any act of submission, yielding, obedience, humility, must be empowered by God's Spirit in us. And when we do that, we find that it's easy and it's delightful. You know, and Jesus said, take my yoke upon me. I am gentle and humble in heart. Bring your weariness to me. Bring your burdens to me. Cast them on me. And there'll be delight when we do that. But it's not our nature. It's not in our nature to do this. It is in God's nature. So when he plants his Spirit in us, we begin to become conformed to who he is and what he does. Isaiah 55 says that basically God's thoughts and his ways are not ours. We don't understand them. His thoughts and ways are higher. And as we move into relationship with him, they become more clear and evident. We begin to align with who God is because his Spirit is in us, and we become children of God. And we begin to reflect the heart of our Father. Benefits of submission to the local church. We receive a safety net of care from our spiritual family. This is a family, and we receive a safety net of care. Through elder shepherding, through deacon care. So elders' primary role is to care for the spiritual needs of the church family. The deacon's primary role is to care for the physical needs of the church family. I started thinking, since this church started 4.5 years ago, of all of the things and the ways that this church has cared for us, but also many of you that are in this church in very practical, tangible ways, from breakdown of transportation to there was a woman in our church who air conditioning in her home had not been working for 5 years, And when the church found out about it, the church partnered and was able to replace her entire air conditioning unit. Very practical things like that. Employment networking, help people move, mortgage payment assistance, car payment assistance. Just when people are in crisis, we come alongside. And then shepherding, marital crisis, family crisis, wayward children, brokenheartedness in life. There is a lot of that. We all have experienced it one way or another. And the church body, when you're connected to a local church body, you have access to a safety net of spiritual care. And then committed community. You have a people that is committed to your good and to your benefit. We're created for community. Couple things, three things came to my mind. Loneliness, unbelief, and support, and how the church community can encourage us in that. And this is where I've got three Nikki Gumbel quotes. I'm just going to read them because he does such a good job of addressing each of these issues. But loneliness, Nikki said this, God does not intend for you to be lonely and isolated. Loneliness has been described as a homesickness for God. God created you for community, calling you into a loving relationship with Him and with other human beings who know and love God. We are called to be a community where many lonely, isolated people find love and forgiveness, a community of the people of God. This is the answer of loneliness. Isn't that good? Our tendency is to isolate in life, especially when trouble hits. Oftentimes, it can be our tendency to want to isolate. But when God puts us in community, and the reason that a church community is different from any other community on the earth is because it reaches a depth of spiritual connection. We have a mutual understanding of our depravity of self. We're sinners. You know, our expectations are through the floor, not through the roof. When we mess up or when people mess up against us, there's a level that we can identify with, that we can connect, but we can also involve God. We can pray for, we can support spiritually, we can share encouraging scripture verses, and then we can also get involved and get in the mess with people and help people, even if it comes to financial or physical or whatever it may be, food, shelter, clothing. But loneliness is one of those things that being a part of a community can really make an impact in. Unbelief. We all deal with unbelief. I deal with unbelief. We can't see God. So because we can't see God, sometimes there's going to be doubt. Is there really a God? Have I just deceived myself? Obviously, the answer is no. Otherwise, I wouldn't be preaching this morning. But there are a lot of preachers who deep down, they've kind of disconnected. There's an emptiness. They're going through the motions. But we all deal with unbelief. And I love what Nikki said. One of the remedies to unbelief is community, where we encourage one another daily. That's what happens in this group. When we come together on a weekly basis, we encourage one another. When we share stories of how God has shown up in our lives, we encourage one another. This is why it's so important to be part of a Christian community, spending time with other Christians, encouraging one another, and building up your faith. Church is not an organization you join. It's a family where you belong, a home where you're loved, and a hospital where you find healing. That is so important. It's not an organization that you join. We don't use the term church membership because it kind of connotates that whole idea of a country club membership. That's not what the church is. It's a family where you belong, a home where you're loved, and a hospital where you find healing. And then lastly, I don't need to say much more about that, support. God never intended you to fight your battles alone. He called you to be part of a strong, healthy, vibrant, growing community of His people. The community of Jesus is the most wonderful community on earth. It's held together by love. Never intended us to fight our battles alone. That can be such a downward spiral of depression and hopelessness when we are by ourselves. The enemy loves to get us alone. But lean into community. Don't run to isolation. I know there are going to be Sunday mornings where you're feeling discouraged or depressed or hopeless or maybe ashamed, and you just, I don't want to go face those people. Right? Well, we're all that way. So that's who you're facing. We all face the same things. So lean into one another. You're not the only one that feels that way. We all do, including myself. So run to community, not isolation. Secondly, components of submission. What is it involved? Trust plus humility plus commitment. Trust is critically important to submission. And as we think about that, it's important to ask the questions, what are the roadblocks that may be keeping you from trusting God? Typically, it's situations and circumstances of life. If there is a good God, how could he allow this to happen in my life? And it's a lack of understanding of the sovereignty of God and his good purposes in our suffering. But to think through, what are the roadblocks that may be keeping me from trusting God? And if you have anything specific to write down, I would love to talk. Laura would, Ray, Rachel, any of us would love to. You could say, these are my roadblocks. Can you help me work through these? Can you help me find answers to these? I'm struggling with these, right? So it's important to know, is God good? Does God care about me? Psalm 100 verse 5 says, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. The Bible tells us all the way through that God is good. And God is also sovereign. He's in control. Those two things are super important because we're going to face trials and sufferings and difficulties in our life. And if we don't understand both of those things, we're going to misunderstand what's going on in our lives, and we're probably going to want to run away from God. So, what are the roadblocks that may be keeping me from trusting God? And then secondly, what are the roadblocks that may be keeping me from trusting the church? Even as I say that, you know, so many of y'all know my story. Growing up in church, my dad's a pastor. There can be so many bad memories, association with the idea of trusting the church, because there's so much junk that we see in the news that comes out of the church and church leaders that have been trusted and they've completely taken advantage of that trust and committed sins and crimes against their people, and it's horrible. But what are the roadblocks that keep me personally from trusting the church? You know, God gave us, through Paul, gave us qualifications for church leaders in Titus 1 and 1 Timothy 3. That they be blameless, that they be faithful, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not dishonest, hospitable, loves what's good, self-controlled, upright, holy, disciplined, able to teach. There's not going to be a church leader that meets all of those. But to strive towards those, and where you can see these things in church leaders, that's what you look for. Not just one leader, although it's certainly important for it to be in whoever's leading whatever church community you're a part of. But what does the leadership of that church look like? That's how you can begin to say, and it's an overtime thing, you know, like a dating process. You want to get to know the person that you're dating, that you're spending time with. You want your friends and your family to get to know that person that you're dating and spending time with. And then you want to make a good decision, but in time, and you want to be praying about it. God, you want to ask God, is this the person that you have for me? Same thing with church. Let it be a process. Take time. Get to know church leaders. Get to know the leadership. Get to know the people. But it's important to find out, if I'm a part of a church but I'm not committing myself, why is that? And we'd be happy to talk with you about that as well. Humility is the character quality most necessary for submission. We've talked about that. We don't naturally want to submit or surrender to any authority other than our own. And that's exactly why we need it. God wants us to put aside our pride. It's the greatest hindrance that keeps us from relationship with God, is our pride. And submission challenges our pride. It causes us to pursue humility. Our selfish, prideful, sinful nature desires autonomy and independence, but God in his sovereign love calls us to surrender to his kingship and to his authority. Why is commitment important? What difference does it make? Commitment differentiates family from guests. It makes us family. And I love this quote. Commitment says, you can be yourself. You can be broken, blemished, messed up, fearful, anxious, angry, insecure, and I'm not going anywhere. I'm here for you. And numbers of y'all, and as a part of this church over the years, addiction ministry, whether it's Celebrate Recovery, Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous. That is the defining element of those communities is you're not going to be able to tell me anything around this table or around this circle in this room that will cause us to get up and walk out. And that's what we need in church more than anything else. And that's what we have in church because we're here by God's grace, not because of our goodness. Let me see if I can combine. I've got a page and a half left of notes, so let me try to summarize it and we'll be done. The church really is a loving parent. In the same way that a child runs to their parent when they're hurt, when they're broken, when they're wounded, they come and they jump up in their parent's lap and they get a hug. That's what the church should be. The church is God's loving parent on earth. That's what the church should be. That's hopefully what you will experience from this church and what hopefully you'll experience from any church that you're a part of. The church also is there as a loving parent when there's conflict or disobedience. Every family has discipline. The church has discipline. But it's always intended with love. It's intended for restored relationship and repentance. There's always, whenever there's discipline that's involved in church, it's always for the purpose of good. Not of calling people out and shaming, but it's always intended and done so with gentleness of spirit. I'm going to skip ahead. We need God and we need each other, but fully entering into those in all relationships involves submission. Submission is involved not just with church, but one another. And I love the quote by St. Cyprian, a 3rd century bishop. He said, "You can't have God as your father if you don't have the church as your mother." Confession and submission go hand in hand. Many of us will confess Christ, but submission to him and being a part of his church body goes hand in hand with confession. And so the question for all of us is, where am I in that process? Some of us are in the beginning of the process. Some of us are not yet into the process. Some of us are further along, but confession and submission go hand in hand because it's how relationship happens. We're going to fail each other. We're going to hurt each other. And we're going to make a mess of things sometimes. But when we're all submitted together under the lordship of Christ as his body, his bride, his kids, he will hold us together. He will clean up the mess. He will enable us to grow in spiritual maturity and love, both individually and also together as a community. And when we submit ourselves to one another, when we care for one another, when we carry each other's burdens, this is the kind of love that's attractive to a lost and hurting world. A world that needs Jesus in the same way that we do. It's not just that they need Jesus, we need Jesus too. And we have Jesus through his love, through his grace, through relationship with one another. And that's good news for us today. So let me pray and we'll close our service with singing. Father, thank you for the church family, the body of Christ that you've invited us to join and be a part of, that's committed to us and we're committed to each other. Ultimately, we are under the umbrella of your commitment to us and you hold us. We are a mess, but we're a mess together. And the unbelievable thing of the gospel is that you actually use our messiness, you use our brokenness, you use our woundedness to help others and to bring others into an encounter with your great love. Our brokenness, our woundedness is not a liability in our lives. It is an asset in our lives because everybody in this world experiences brokenness and woundedness. And if we can share how you have met us in our brokenness and in our mess and in our addiction, in our woundedness, then that gives other people hope that they can find and meet you as well. So, Lord, I pray that you'd meet us where we are, that that we would reach out to you by faith this morning, that we would repent of our sin, that we would run to you, and that we would be held by our loving Father. We would experience the kiss of the Father even this morning. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.